Hi everybody, my name is Sarah Vero and I'm from the National University of Ireland and Chagask Environmental Research Centre. So a lot of my references are going to be in an Irish and a European context, but what's true of compaction over there is equally true over here. So my MSc research was on using the soil moisture deficit model to predict grassland trackability with the point of view of limiting soil compaction. And what is soil compaction? Well, simply put, it's the increase in bulk density or decrease in porosity in response to an applied pressure. And as it fundamentally changes the structural and hydrological processes, properties of soil, it impairs the soil's behaviour and performance. So not to bore you, but I'll give you a very quick rundown of the extensive effects of compaction. It reduces the porosity and infiltration and conductivity. And this leads to numerous other problems such as nitrogen use efficiency limitations, it reduces earthworm population, increased water logging and greenhouse gas, reduced fertiliser use efficiency, runoff, as you can see here in a very dramatic example, and loss of organic carbon. You have an increase in strength which impairs or impedes root penetration, restricts growth and consequently water and nutrient uptake, reducing yield. And furthermore, it causes much greater increased draft requirements and subsequently increased fuel consumption. So how big of a problem is it? Well, it affects 33 million hectares of EU agricultural land. That's 24% of our land, and it's a largely unrecognised problem. To put that into context, that's an area larger than New Mexico. So within the UK, it costs an estimated 1.5 to 2 billion per year. And while there's no definitive study across the US, there are many reports on grassland, forestry, cropping land, and both in the US and Canada. So it's an extensive problem. What's causing it? Well, in Ireland, 80% of our agricultural land is grassland, is primarily devoted to grazing. So cattle grazing is a major issue. In addition, we have a lot of data on forestry. And the work I was working on was on slurry spreading, the largest machinery you're going to get on Irish grasslands. So the soil moisture deficit model basically expresses, it's a proxy for volumetric moisture content, and it expresses the soil moisture as the millimetres of precipitation required to bring the soil to field capacity. And as you increase the soil moisture, you decrease soil strength and hence increase the vulnerability to soil compaction. This model was developed by Schulte et al. In 2005. You can see here, soil moisture deficit equals soil moisture deficit on the antecedent day, subtracting subtracting precipitation, taking into account effective evapotranspiration and drainage. So my aim was to quantify the relationship between soil moisture deficit and compaction during slurry spreading, and to determine how much this was alleviated over time, naturally, with no ploughing. And this would help me identify threshold values for safe slurry spreading. So I had a complete randomised block design with four applications on three sites, well, moderate and poorly drained. And at target SMD values of 0, 5, 10 and 20 millimetres, I would traverse these plots with a fully loaded slurry tanker. I would measure there's just the details of the tractor and tanker, the combined weight of 18 tonnes. I then used pre-traffic bulk density and post-traffic bulk density measurements both inside and outside of the wheel rut. I also measured the wheel ruts themselves with the use of this H-frame device. Basically, it's a H-frame with pins that drop down. You put it over the rut, drop the pins, lock them in place, and then you measure the length of the pins, and that'll give you the cross-sectional area of the rut. Wheel ruts are very important when it comes to soil compaction because they're the primary visual assessment. If you ask a farmer or a land manager if he has a soil compaction problem, it's the ruts that he's going to look at rather than the actual bulk density. I also measured grass dry matter yield both within the wheel rut and outside of the wheel rut to get a handle on the yield loss. And I repeated these measurements at 30 and 60 days post-tracking to determine the alleviation over time. So in terms of soil bulk density, this is the change in bulk density compared to the pre-traffic measurements. And as you can see, trafficking at zero SMD, which equates to field capacity, had a vastly greater increase in bulk density compared to trafficking at 10 or 20 millimetres SMD. Furthermore, the alleviation over time was much greater at 10 or 20 millimetres SMD. In fact, by 60 days, the bulk density had reduced to pre-traffic values, and that suggests that trafficking at greater than 10 millimetres SMD ultimately doesn't have a major effect on bulk density. It has an initial effect, but it will dissipate over time with no interference by the farmer or land manager. Excuse me. In terms of rut profiles, the rut area created at 0 millimetres SMD at field capacity was far greater than at 10 or 20 millimetres, and the alleviation was almost negligible. However, it's very important to note that trafficking at any SMD caused some degree of rutting. Unfortunately, I only had 60 days measurements. I would be very interested to see what's the alleviation of rut at 1 year or 2 years. Surely they have to dissipate over time to some degree. In terms of grass dry matter yield, we had a dramatic loss in dry matter within the wheel ruts, and that was pretty much linear, in fact, as you decreased soil moisture deficit, so as you approached field capacity. However, the yield recovered at 10 or 20 millimetres SMD by 60 days post-trafficking. So I wanted to get a handle of what this would mean to the farmer in terms of lost grazing days. Each additional day of grass that the farmer has accounts for €2.70 per cow in farm profitability in dollars. That is not $27, that's $2.70. Or pardon me, that's roughly $4. So there's a mistake on my slide there, pardon me. But trafficking at 0 millimetres S&D could yield to a loss of $27.40 per hectare in the 38th post-trafficking alone. That's a very significant loss to a farmer. If you put this in terms of turf grass, I don't know how much it would cost to alleviate that, but you have to take also into account the cost of trafficking of what that land cannot be used while it's recovering. So the conclusions were that soil moisture deficit had a significant effect on the response of soil to vehicle traffic, and that the effect of compaction on soil bulk density and surface deformation decreased over time. And we proposed an SMD value of 10 millimetres as a recommended threshold value for slurry spreading operations to minimise compaction. There's other studies that have been done using this exact same methodology, but instead of having trafficking from agricultural vehicles, as I did, they used trampling by cattle. You could apply the same to basically any agricultural or land management practice. The SMD model, because it's so simple, is really applicable. You can use this model anywhere that you have evapotranspiration and rainfall and drainage data. That's a huge advantage. So this is just one use of the tool. You could use it on any grassland site, be that turf, be that grazing land, be that pasture. This work was published in Soil Use and Management in 2013. I have some copies if anyone is interested. And I'd just like to acknowledge the International Association of Hydrologists and the Irish Geological Association, who have kindly sponsored my attendance at this meeting. I'd be happy to take any questions. Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, we haven't applied this model to sports turf in any great degree. We have a lot of golf courses in Ireland, so it's certainly something we want to look at ourselves, is how we can apply the model. But what I want to demonstrate is that the model can be used as a tool on grasslands, but it certainly would require more use to tailor it to a specifically turf grass situation.
All right, let's thank our speaker.
Thank you.